This is Victory House.
Can somebody say a bigger amen?
Amen.
This month, we are going to be dealing with what I call prevailing prayers. Look at your neighbor, say prevailing prayers.
Prayers.
God is a wonderful God. I'm sure you know that already. God is a God that wants you to talk to him. And the word we give talking to God is what we call prayer. And so many people know about prayer, but not so many people know about prayers that prevail or prayers that they actually receive answers. But this month, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, as we pray here and as we learn more about prayer, you will find answers to your prayer in the name of Jesus. There are some things I just need to say before I move on with what we're going to talk about today. And by the way, if you take notes, today I will be talking about what I call check-in. Check-in under these prevailing prayers. Check-in. There are some things that you and I need to remind ourselves about God and about prayer. And one of the things you need to remind yourself, or if you have never really thought about it, to come to awareness of it, is that God answers prayers. Can somebody say amen to that? God answers prayer. God is not God that stores prayers. God is not God's God that keeps prayer somewhere and wonders what to do with it. God answers prayers. Can somebody say, my God answers prayers? In Psalm 65, Psalms number 65, verse 2. Psalm 65, verse 2. The Good News Translation says, because you answer prayers, people everywhere will come to you. Because you answer prayers, people everywhere will come to you. Our God is the God that answers prayers. It is the foundation of answers to prayer. For you to come to the awareness that God answers prayers. Because you see, when it comes to God, anything he can do, it is not up to what he can do. It is what you believe that he can do. There are sometimes people show up before God and say, if God can do, God can do anything. God can do everything. God is very powerful. But you need to come and believe that he will do and he will do for you. You need to come to the realization that God will answer your own prayers. Some people might know that God answers prayers, but they need to be reminded that God will answer their own prayers. I want you to say it loud and clear again. Say, my God answers prayers. Maybe we should add this to it today. Say my God answers prayers today. Because I know there are some people, they've heard that God answers prayers. They've even read the Bible. They believe that, yes, what the Bible says about God answering prayer is true. But they are not quite sure that now, today, September 2nd, 2018, that God is still answering prayers. But I have come to announce to you that Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 is still the same. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The calendar does not change him. The new month does not change him. The situation does not change him. The circumstance does not change him. The geography does not change him. Because some people tend to think God answers prayer in some parts of the world. You hear of miracles in some parts of the world. But I have come to tell you that it's not geography that makes God answer prayers. It is not even climate that makes God answer prayer. It doesn't depend on the president in office that makes God answer prayer. God just answers prayer. Can somebody say it as if they believe in it? My God answers prayers today. Sometimes that may be something you need to remind yourself. God answers prayers. Because you see, the devil tells us a lot of things. I had something that blessed me recently. It's as if I've never heard it before. He said, don't listen. The person said, don't listen to yourself. Speak to yourself. Is there a difference between that? Yes. Many times we listen to ourselves, and then most times that voice in your head or voices in your head, some of the time you hear something say, it's not possible. Some of the time that thing will now be making connections. You know, it didn't happen like this. This, you've been here before. You have failed like this before. This happened like this and this. So it starts convincing you that it is not possible. But you see, instead of listening to yourself or listening to something that is not of God, speak to yourself. Speak the word of God. And one of the things you can speak to yourself is that God answers prayers. Sometimes when you show up at office and you see how impossible people are, I know, yeah, some bosses will behave as if no, the devil sent them to hurt you, to make life difficult for you. They just come at the wrong time. Meetings at the wrong time. Projects at the wrong time. And they are not watching out for you. They you know, you think you had a conversation with them and you say, how am I doing? In fact, sometimes when you do review with them, they seem to tell you that you have done well. But every other thing does not show that it seems that they put in for you that you did well. Sometimes later when you even find out, you find out that they didn't really give you the 4 or the 5 or whatever number they are supposed to give you that they told you they were going to give you. So sometimes you are discouraged, but I want you to remind yourself in situations like that God answers prayers, because God still answers prayers. Not yesterday, not even maybe in the future, because some people believe, well, when God comes and take care of all this trouble in this world, everything will be okay. Yes, there's that time coming, but right now, in this very moment, God still answers prayers. Can somebody say amen to that? In Psalm 65 and verse 24, not only does God answer prayer, he's very eager to answer it. Look at what the Bible says. It says, I will answer them before they even call to me. There is something, these are things that we need to remind ourselves, because sometimes we don't, number one, you need to understand that God knows everything. He knows what you are going through, but he has set up a system of we should ask. He has set up a system that we should request. He has set up a system on this side of eternity that you will ask him. And look at what the word says. He says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. I think that's like somebody this month. While you are still speaking, God will begin to answer. In the name of Jesus. So God answers prayers. That's a major thing we need to remind ourselves. Be settled in that. Remind yourself again and again. Sometimes that reminding yourself will mean you have to say it to yourself. You have to say it in impossible cases. Because sometimes, some of these things that we say in church is easier said than done. When rubber meets the road, it doesn't look like it. But you need to remind yourself, God answers prayers. It is true, God does answer prayer. If I ask him specifically like this, he can answer my prayer. So you remind yourself that and you settle yourself in that. Another thing you need to understand and remember this morning is that God delights in the prayers of his people. He delights in it. I am a father. I like to hear my children talk. I like their voice. I like it. In fact, I don't know about some of the parents here. Sometimes on my own, I hear their voice in my head. I don't know, but I just hear somebody say, no. I know who is saying that. You know, because they're my children, I'm happy to hear their voice. Sometimes when I'm at home, sometimes if I go somewhere and I know they're going to sleep by 7:30, I'm running because I just want to hear their voice. Similarly, God wants to hear your voice. The Bible says he delights. Our asking him, our prayer is not a bother. It's not something we are bugging him. We are not making him paranoid. We are not making, because sometimes the way people approach God, they are approaching him as if, excuse me, sir, I don't want to disturb you. No, he wants you to come. He wants you to talk. He is delighted. He's excited. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 5 verse 8, the Bible says, when he took the scroll, the 4 living beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one of them had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which were at the prayers of God's people. That means your prayer is like incense before God. It's like perfume. It's like deodorant. It's like what is moving. I don't know if you have been to some shows and they do smoke. You see those smokes, right? That's how your prayer is in heaven. It's the smoke. It fills the atmosphere. God likes it. It's beautiful. God wants to hear it. He wants it there because it brings him delight. So you need to be assured of this, that your prayer, God is delighted in it. God is happy about it. God wants to hear from you. Sometimes he misses your voice. Your voice adds color to the whole equation. Yes, there are so many voices in heaven. There are people shouting and greeting him and doing all kinds of things. But you are unique. Your own voice is unique. You are different. And so God wants you to, he wants to hear your voice particularly. That's why when we come into a congregation like this, it is not enough for us to do congregational prayer. Even in that congregational prayer, your own individual prayer, God is listening to it. God wants to hear it. He's very delighted. Is somebody excited about that? Say glory to God. So God answers prayers. God delights in the prayer of his people. If I know that God likes something, I give him a lot of it. I've given him a lot of it. And he loves prayer. Another thing I want to just remind you before I begin to talk about what I want to really talk about this morning. You can get better at praying. I can get better at praying. When I was younger, I used to hear these things. Something like this. You pray by praying. I don't know. It's an African saying that you pray by praying, or you learn prayer by praying. Now that sounds very deep and very spiritual, but it's not correct. It's not correct from scriptures. If you look at Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, because prayer is a skill, it's something you can get better at. Micah 4 verse 2, the Bible says, "And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of our God, or to the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways." That means the ways or the things we need to do in his house, some of it we don't know it by default. We are going to be taught. We are going to learn. We can get better. And so if you are here this morning and throughout this morning, I want you to be open-minded that I can learn something about prayer. Because some people feel like, no. Prayer. I've been praying since I was a little boy. Yes, but you can still learn. I am still learning, and I hope you know that you can learn. In fact, Jesus, there was an episode of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" That means that when they saw the prayer life of Jesus Christ, they recognized that there were some things they need to learn about prayer. And when they asked him this question, Jesus did not tell them, "You learn how to pray by praying." Jesus actually obliged them. Jesus actually taught them how to pray. That means we can learn how to pray. That means prayer is a skill. It is something we learn. It is something we get better at. And the better we are, the better it is for us. Because you see, anything that you can learn, anything that can be taught, if you keep learning about it, you keep getting better about it. You keep getting better results. So when we are talking about prevailing prayers, you need to understand that you can learn. You can learn to the point where you can have more success in prayer. You can have more results in prayer. And in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, in the month of September 2018, somebody listening to me will have results in prayer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, so when it comes to the subject of prayer, I think the pre-prayer thing to do is to do a check-in, is to check yourself in. Usually when you go to some places, maybe you want to see the doctor, they want you to check in. They want to get your data and all of that kind of thing. I believe in prayer, we need to do some kind of check-in before we really get into the business of prayer. And the first checking we need to do is checking with our heart. We checking into a life of prayer. We checking into prevailing prayer with our heart. Now understand what I'm saying about heart this morning. I'm talking about your spirit man. Because I'm not talking about the human heart, the blood-pumping organ. I'm talking about your spirit. We understand from scripture that man is a tripartite being. Man has, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in the body. The body of man is not man. I'm sure you know that. Amen. The body of man is not man. Because if it is the body, if body is man, then when people are dead, why is it that, you know, they are lifeless? Why is it that nothing is happening? And that same person was alive few days ago or was doing things few days ago, but now he's lying down there, he's not breathing, nothing is happening. That means that there is something to man much more than the body. There is something to man more than the physical. There are other things from within. And the major thing about man is a spirit. And so in the Bible, the word spirit of a man is usually also connected to the heart. So they are used interchangeably. So sometimes when you see in the Bible, the heart, it is still talking about the spirit of man. So the first checking you and I need to do is to check in with our heart. Because you see, there is something about the heart of man. That is where everything originates from. That is where everything flows from. That is the connection point to God. In Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Job 32, the Bible says, however, a spirit exists in mankind. However, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God gives him understanding. So there is a spirit in me, there is a spirit in you. It is your spirit that connects with the Holy Spirit. So it is the small spirit that connects with the big spirit, or it's the lowercase spirit that connects with the uppercase spirit. And when there is that connection, you will have fullness. And so whenever you come to the place of prayer, much more than what your mouth will say, the connection from within is more important than what you are saying with your mouth. It's more important. Because you see, the heart is where everything starts. The heart is where everything flows from. In John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, actually, before we even get to verse 24. Jesus was having a conversation with a woman. The woman at the well. And the conversation went like this. The woman was talking about a lot of physical things. Oh, we do this, we do that. We worship at this mountain and all of that kind of thing. Now, Jesus made a profound statement in John chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus said, God is a spirit. God is not as physical and geographical as you are thinking about it. God is beyond the physical. God is a spirit. And essentially, God also created man as a spirit. Man is a spirit before he has a body. God is a spirit. And he now says, they that must worship, or they that must pray, or they that must engage God, must know that the best place to start is to start in the spirit. If you don't start in the spirit, you are not going to make perfect in the flesh what you should have started in the spirit. So Jesus was telling this woman that when it comes to God, you must understand that you have to be on his frequency. If you were in this room this morning and you have a radio receiver, the fact that you don't hear a particular radio station does not mean that it does not exist. It might just mean that you are not tuned to that frequency of that radio station. The radio station may be broadcasting, but until you tune your own receiver to the frequency, you will not pick any signal. Similarly, the Spirit of God may be in motion, may be active, may be doing something. But if you can't connect by with your own spirit, then there is no connection. Then you will not get the fullness. It does not mean that there is no broadcast from heaven. It just means that there is no reception from you. So our heart is the first thing. We must first of all give God our heart. If you have not given your life to Christ, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the beginning of having prevailing prayer is to give your life to him. Is to give your heart to him, because that's where it starts from. Now, if you have given your heart to him, you also check in your heart. You check where your heart is at any time, especially when you enter into the place of prayer. You check in your heart. Am I connected to this God? Am I in connection? Because you see, a broken relationship will often affect requests made. Because you see, relationships precedes requests. If I want something from you. And your son wants the same thing. Sir, I believe that based on the relationship of your son and my own relationship to you, your son will have it first, sir. I know you may want to. maybe I should use me as example. And their son, maybe, you know. But even at that, the son will have it first. Let's be sincere with ourselves. Or maybe for me, if you want something, sir. And my son wants something, sir. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Jesus is the husband of the church. I will tell Jesus to take care of you. I will take care of my son. I mean, Jesus can take care of his people. I will take care of my own. Why? Because relationship has levels. So the relationship of this guy is going to affect the response to the request. So what am I saying this morning? I am saying that if you want to enjoy prayer, you need to understand that your heart is major. You need to understand where your heart stands at any time is major. It is very major. Sometimes I have asked myself this question. I don't know if you have asked yourself. That sometimes, is it that God likes some people more than some people? Have you thought about that too? Because sometimes, well, does it really? Maybe, yes, maybe. Some people will claim it does. How many people believe God likes them more than other people? Okay, I know they will be here. Some of them, they don't know the truth that God likes me more than them. Amen. But we are not going about that. God likes who God likes the most. But it appears that sometimes you have prayed for something. Or sometimes you have asked for something. The same thing you were asking for or praying for, you tell somebody. Maybe this guy is a pastor. He's been with God for a little bit. And it's as if God answered that man. And he didn't answer you. Because the same thing, he prayed about it. And it seems God answered. So, is God partial? I think the answer is no. God is not partial. But I believe that relationship, I believe that the walk with God. You remember the story of Enoch in the Bible. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was no more. There are levels of relationship. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was not in Sodom. Abraham was not there. The angels were on their way there. And you know what they said? They said, how can we do this and not tell Abraham? Abraham didn't need to know what was going on. But relationship made it that God said, you know what? Maybe we should tell this guy. And they now told him out of like, you know, you're our guy. You're on our side. You're our team. So we are going to do this in Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you, you know, just for your information. And as they were going, he now started saying, you know what? Don't you think that destroying that place will be too much of a punishment for everybody? What if there are 50 people that are righteous there? They said they won't do that. They won't destroy the place. What if there are 40? He kept bringing it up. Till he brought down to 10. He kept bringing it down because of relationship. So what am I saying this morning? I believe the beginning of prayer. I believe to have good result in prayer, we must check our heart. We must make sure that our heart is in sync. We must make sure that our relationship, our fellowship is not broken. And that's why every time somebody does something that is not in line with the word of God, it is good to ask for forgiveness right there and there. Don't wait till one general prayer. I know that sometimes when people want to lead prayer or pray, they start like this. They go, Father, I thank you. They thank God, they thank God, they thank God. And then they go to ask for forgiveness. Beautiful. But I believe that if you find out, if something comes to you that I've done this wrong, ask for forgiveness there. Don't wait till a prayer time. Because people are always waiting to one prayer time to ask for forgiveness. No, you don't have to wait till a prayer time to ask for forgiveness. Anytime that you have broken, because you want to make sure that the relationship is maintained. The relationship is not sour. The fellowship is kept intact. So every time you did something that you were not supposed to do, you said something you were not supposed to say, take care of it there and there. So that when you get into the place of prayer, the relationship is intact. Because the heart is very important. The heart is very important. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Scripture reminds us that it is possible to say something with your mouth, and if your heart is not in it,
it still invalidates what you have said with your mouth. That's why many people say many things with their mouth in prayer, and it seems there's no power behind what they have said. It is because of the heart. On Friday, I said something like this, that I believe that many times God prints the content of our heart and adds it to the request of our mouth. And the net effect is what we get. And that's why some people, it's almost like they get zero. Because what they said with their mouth was correct. But what is in their heart, or their connection, or their spirit, something is wrong such that it is affecting what they are saying with their mouth. So what am I saying this morning? In this month where we are talking about prayer, and just generally in your life, always ask yourself, where is my heart? Where is my heart? I want my heart to be connected. So if there's anything that I've done, if there is any way I'm breaking the rules or I'm violating the relationship, I will make amends because I check in with my heart. So the first check-in you make is to check in with your heart. Because when your heart is in it, then you are in it. When your spirit is in it, then you are in it. I had the story of a little boy, and they told the boy that the boy should not go out. And that was my story. I think my mom was even reminding my aunt yesterday about that, that when I was a little boy, I play a lot. Sometimes you may even notice that we used to play. So I used to, oh God, I played a lot. And my mom would tell me, don't go and play there. Don't play with those guys. Don't, you know. And many times, because she's in the house, I won't do that. But once she leaves the house, I would damn the consequences, you know. And in those days, they used to lay things on us, you know, lay hands on us. For some of you that understand laying on of hands, in the African context, you know what I mean. I won't say more than that so that people don't quote me that some people were doing child abuse. They were just laying hands on us. That's what I said. They laid their hands on us and we were blessed. Some people, I think you had a parent like your parents were like my parents. They know how to lay hands. Amen. So they will lay hands on me. But even at that, sometimes I will still go out. But when my mom is around, I will sit down. But you see, when I'm sitting down in the house physically, I will just sit down there. But everything in me is outside the house. So I am saying that it is possible to maintain a physical posture or be somewhere physically, geographically. But you can be outside there in every sense of the word. That's what I'm saying about this checking with the spirit. That when we are in the place of prayer, our spirit must be in there. We must be connected to that God. We must know or understand that prayer actually flows from the spirit. It is a spiritual thing. It is not a physical thing. It is not how much you shout. It is not what you even say sometimes. It is not how you say it. It is not the tone of voice. Can I get amen to that? Amen. Because sometimes when people want to pray, they have a prayer voice. Oh Lord, our Father, we thank thee. There's nothing wrong with all the grammar you are using. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to change your voice when you want to pray, that if it works for you, praise God. But that's not the efficacy. What gives prayer is efficacy is not that. It is what is inside. It is who is making the request. It is the person. There has to be a relationship because relationship precedes request. It is relationship that validates request. So the first check-in you need to do is checking with your heart. Tell your neighbor, say, checking with your heart. The next checking you need to do is checking with your worship and your praise. Check in with your worship and with your praise. So we must acknowledge the person of God and the action of God, the actions of God, before we make our request known. We don't just come and just start talking. No. We must acknowledge the person of God. In Psalm 100, from verse 1 to 5, the Message translation. Psalm 100, from verse 1 to 5, the Message translation. The Bible says, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. That's why we sing when we start services. We are singing ourselves into his presence. That's why even in your own house, you should be singing. That's why you should use your phone not only to listen and watch YouTube and Instagram. You should use it to listen and sing and let it be your choir director, you know, and have a playlist that can put you in the mood, that can make you call on God, that you can sing along, that you can dance with. You know, you can have all what we do in church at your own home, because singing is not meant for church alone. Dancing is not meant for church alone. You can dance all by yourself. You can sing all by yourself. And thank God for technology today. Even if your voice is not good, you can blast the music so that it will drown your own voice. And it will look like it's your voice that is very, very beautiful that is singing. Whatever you need to do, you need to come singing. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God. When I read this, I thought there was a typo, because this is how they put it. Say, God is God, and God, God. I like it. He said, know this, God is God, and God, God. Know this. Every time you show up in prayer, you have to come to the place of prayer as if I'm talking to God. And as if God is around, as if God is hearing, as if God is in the vicinity, as if I'm approaching God, I will give it that honor. I will give it that respect. I will show it in everything that I'm doing that I'm dealing with God. I'm not dealing with a man. I'm not dealing with myself. I'm not dealing with anybody that looks like me. I'm dealing with God, the God of the universe, the God that created me, the God that can kill and that can make alive. The Bible says, look at this. It says, he made us. This God is the one that made us. We didn't make him. We did not make him. So he is not bound by our rules. He's not bound by our time. He's not bound by what is hindering us. He is the one that made us. Then he goes on to say, we are the people of his his people and his well-tended sheep. And verse 4, he says, enter with the password. What is the password? Thank you. That is why sometimes it seems that prayers that some people pray is invalid, because you entered the wrong password. You know, and the way passwords are, if you don't put the right password there, if it is uppercase and you put lowercase, it will be, you know, you won't get in. So enter with the right password, and the password is thank you. It is having the heart of gratitude. It is having the heart of celebration. It does not matter what is going on. It doesn't matter even what you are going to ask that day. It does not matter. You need to enter with the consciousness that God has been good, and God is a good God. You need to have that gratitude inside of you. Like as God has brought you to this September, for example, if it is time to give God praise, you need to give him the praise that, God, you have done something. Because sometimes the way people come before God is almost reminding God that he hasn't done yet what he should do. Some people will come and then they'll say, you know, there's a lot of complaints. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And I understand that. I understand that there are things that need to be done. I understand that there are things that you believe God in January and this is September and you're asking yourself, is this thing not going to happen this year? I understand that we'll get there. But before we get there, sir, before we get there, ma'am, can we do something? Can we acknowledge what he has done? Can we look at can we look back and be grateful? It is not a good practice to dwell on the past. But if you want to dwell on the past, dwell on the past of what God has done. Dwell on the things of God, what God has done. Remind yourself of what God has done. Because you see, the foundation of what God is going to do is what he has done. If you can convince yourself that God has done something before, you can be confident that God will do something now. So you come into his presence, entering with the password, thank you. He says, make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. And how do you make yourself at home? How do you calm yourself down? By talking praise. Praise is the lingua franca of the house. Praise is the vernacular, if some people understand what I'm saying, of the house. Praise is the way you calm yourself down. Because sometimes when you get into the place of prayer, you are agitated. There are things on your heart. There are things bothering you. I don't know about you. Sometimes I hear some news and it bothers me. You understand? It bothers me. I hear a medical condition. Yes, I'm a pastor, but it bothers me. And I'm like, God, what's going to happen? I hear about a financial something. It bothers me. I'm a human being. It bothers me. Yes, it has to happen like that. But do you know how to keep yourself calm? Talk praise. Talk praise. Because the devil wants you to celebrate what is happening. But you can celebrate what God has done. You can celebrate the person of God. You can enter into the secret place of God with the word thank you, with the attitude of gratitude. The more grateful you are, the more it will raise you. I know God will raise some people this month in the name of Jesus. Bible says thank him, worship him, worship him. Worship is ascribe to someone their worth. Talk about them. It's almost like going, when you go to Forbes list, they will put the list of the richest people. They tell you their net worth. And some people will argue that that's not their net worth. Some people may get the joke. I won't go there. Because some people, when Forbes says that they are this rich, they argue and say that I'm richer than that. And some of you know the persons or the people, but I won't mention their names. If you don't know, go and find out who always argues about Forbes list. But you see, that is human beings. They complain about how worth they are, what they are worth. God is worth more than what we can use words to describe. So when we use words, words are just too limited to describe him. But we still use words anyway. So when you show up before him, you come and tell him of his net worth, at least as you believe it to be. You can come and say something like this: God, you are the God that owns all the cattle on all the mountains of the earth. You are the God that knows the number of every grain of sand on the seashore. That's a big net worth. That's a big knowing for you to know everyone. The Bible says God knows the number of your hair. That means God knows 0000000001. He understands them uniquely. There's no scientist, there is no doctor that has that kind of knowledge. But God has that. So when you show up before him, you talk to him like that. That's how you approach his presence. That's how you come before him. You celebrate him like that. You say, this God, you are too much. You are more than what I can even imagine. You are bigger than the biggest. You are bigger than any president. In fact, you are bigger than any human being. You are the Almighty God. You were not elected, so you cannot be impeached. You were not elected, so you cannot lose your seat. You were not elected, or you were not voted in, so you cannot be voted out. That's how you come before him. That's a checking in that you have to do before you begin to really enjoy the fullness of prayer. Can I get amen to that? So when we're talking about prevailing prayer, we start like that. We start with checking in with our heart, and then we start with checking in with worship. We start with checking in with praise. Every first Sunday of the month in this church, we always thank God for what he has done. And you see, the essence of thanksgiving is to give us the opportunity to dance and to think and verbalize what God has done. And you don't have to wait for one Sunday in the month. Every day, that's what you should be doing. You should be celebrating God. Because if you focus on celebrating God, you know what God will do? He will make sure that you have more things to celebrate about. There's a man in the Bible called David. That guy knew how to celebrate God. He will focus his gaze on just celebrating God. He will celebrate God as if the problems are not there. He will dance before God as if the problems are not there. Can I tell you the truth? Every time we show up in church, everybody has something they would like God to do. So the fact that somebody is dancing does not mean that, they have it all good. No. They have just chosen their priority. They have just chosen that, you know what? As long as I'm here, when I get out there, I will deal with what is out there. But as long as I'm here, as long as I'm in prayer, I will first take care of the first business, which is that I will celebrate this God. I'll check in like that. I'll check in like that. So this morning, I'm challenging you as we begin this journey on the way on prevailing prayers to understand that you check in with your heart. With your heart. You need to know where you are with God. If you are here this morning, you just show up in church, you just come to church, and because of that, you just think that is what matters. No, church, God and church may be two different things. People can be members of church and not be members of God's family. I'm sure you know that. So when we come here, the first thing we need to do is to check in with our heart. Ask, where is my heart? Is my heart with him? Have I given him my heart? And is the relationship intact? Because sometimes we do things to affect the relationship. You want to check that. And then when you do that, you can now get into the place where you can supply the password. I want you to bow down your heads this morning.